Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. This episode of Spaces Podcasts is supported by Twinmotion and by Section Cut from our friends at Monograph. You'll hear more about them later on in the episode. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Morning.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcasts Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Jason, we posted recently about this, talking about sort of the unsung heroes in the profession. And the idea came to me because I was working on a project recently. And I realized I was going through one instance myself, but I realized there's a lot of situations in the industry where people are working through a project and, you know, something comes up to them and they just have to make a decision on how to make an improvement, something that's going to save the project money or something like that. And the client probably never will find out about that. So they've had some sort of benefit for the project and then no one ever knows. They don't get their pat on the back. So I wanted to try to do that today. And so we reached out and tried to see if some people would share some stories. Didn't get as many people playing along as I would hoped, but we did have one that was decent that we can share. Okay. And then we have our own stories. But have you ever been in that situation where a project has come your way and you had to make a decision that helped a client out?
Yeah, no, there's been stuff like that. Usually, I would say, I mean, there's quite a few, but I would say I can think of one very specifically on the flooring side, and then one very easily. There's a few actually on the cabinet side, because we get into a lot of like layout, a lot of working with other trades that they kind of want to cut time out of like template and things like that.
Yeah, cabinets are tricky because you get down to the inches or half inches or probably tighter tolerance
for you guys. Yeah, and this one specifically, there was a builder partner that wanted to eliminate template time, right? So usually what would happen is, at least in a residential deal, you would install, you know, you'll install cabinets. The countertop subcontractor would come out, template the next day or whatever, once you have the basis set. And then usually it's like 7 to 10 days for them to then take that new template, fabricate, come back out and install, right? Mm-hmm. So they were trying to eliminate a lot of that gap in between, you know what I mean? It's kind of like what they really wanted to do was go cabinets and install just a couple of days later, and the countertops guys, like, there's no way.
Yeah.
So basically what happened was the builder partner had his idea of how it needed to, and he's a pretty smart guy and I respect him a lot, but had his idea of how it needed to work. And he and I were talking, it's like, look, it doesn't work that way. Like, there's no way I can do that. The only way we can do it is to do it this way. You know what I mean? He's like, no, I want it done this way, which was his way. Right.
Yeah.
And after a few minutes of back and forth, I could see that the countertop sub was more so like looking at me like, yeah, we could do it your way. Like that will work, which makes sense because, you know, the trades really, as long as you don't have a trade that's stuck in their mind and like the old way of like, this is just how we do it. Like, for the most part, the trades really know and can figure out different ways to make things happen, right? Yeah. But and from a concept, design, a VP of ops or construction or whatever, they have a lot of overall knowledge, but obviously you can't have all the carnal knowledge of exactly every single trade. So, maybe it was a bad day, maybe it was whatever, who knows, but he just wasn't having it. And so it was like, okay. So I literally looked at him and I was like, okay, we'll do it your way, right? And as soon as the words left my mouth, I remember just going crap, because I knew I wasn't going to do it that way. And then it was all on me at that point. Right. But I was trying to achieve the goal that he wanted, which is your point.
Yeah.
And so ultimately we ended up doing it our way. When it came time to scheduling for those model complexes, it became a pretty solid back and forth phone call, let's say, about scheduling and issues, because I was like, no, they're not coming until this day because this is how we're doing it. And it was like, well, that's not how I wanted. I said, but your way won't work. I promise you this will work.
Yeah.
And so I think it ended with him hanging up pretty dramatically, let's call it.
Yeah.
And ultimately it worked out fine. You know what I mean? It literally shaved 7 days off of his schedule, like he wanted to do. He and I are very good friends. And he and I talked about this, I think even like, cause this was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I think he and I talked about it about 6 months ago. And he's like, remember that time? I'm like, yeah, when I was right and you were crazy. And he kind of laughs and he's like, no, he goes, we're doing that on all the projects now. So it was really good because, you know, at least he's that type of individual that could see it's like, no, you guys had it right. That's awesome. Thanks for doing that. But it was tight, man. And I can't say unsung hero because it was very out in the light when that happened.
Yeah.
But it was me pushing back and saying, no, I'm not doing it your way because it's not going to work. Let me achieve what you want to achieve and I'll do it this way. And it saved them time and saved them money.
Yeah.
Which was great. So because the countertop contractor was able to cut a trip off and was able to do it faster. And for the most part, as long as everybody else keeps up, if you can eliminate days in the schedule, that's money into the builder's pocket.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah. It's kind of funny how, you deal with this a lot where there are certain clients, individuals that you deal with that know enough, as they say, know enough to be dangerous. So they have certain ways that they think things should be and in their mind makes sense. Mm-hmm. But you're like, from your expertise, you know what they think is possible is not.
You know so what you they think they want, but they just don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because, and in fairness, that situation in of its own probably wouldn't have gone as well if I hadn't been working with that individual for a lot of years. And so he had already, you know, he knew my abilities, or at least he knew that I always had the project's best interest at heart. So it wasn't just about making my life easier or whatever, because there's a whole lot of background behind that would go into it. So it might have been different had it been the first time go around. I mean, we may have been kicked off, you know, who knows? But that helps a lot, that relationship part and the trust overall, right? Thank God it worked out.
Yeah.
It would have been a totally different scenario otherwise.
Yeah. No, the trust is a huge part.
Yeah.
From a design perspective, a lot of it comes down, I mean, there's plenty of different ways, but one of the things that always stands out to me is when it comes down to code and using the code to your advantage, because the code can be super complex and it's an evolving document. Every 2 years, there's something added to it.
Right.
It changes, but all of these jurisdictions don't always necessarily keep up to speed. So there are sometimes segments of the code that literally contradict another one or give you an out from a previous statement.
Yeah.
So being in the industry and looking at it so many times, you start to know, okay, soon as they call for this, I know where that other line item is to counteract that.
Right.
And these are things that clients almost never will see. Like I was going through a plan check process and it had to do with fire separation and exiting. And there's a line item or two that directly, like soon as I saw the comment, light bulbs went off in my head and I knew exactly where I needed to go to pull that reference and to combat it and say, no, this one here says per R whatever, you can do this because of this reason. So get that written off and obviously saves time and changes and gets things that the client wants to get done that this person was trying to say you can't do.
Right.
It's always fun to be able to stick it back to a plan checker when you know.
So you have to see them again the next day to get something approved.
Yeah. No, but I always do it respectfully and just like professionally, but it's always fun to get that win.
You just get that little pump at the end, right? Like, yeah, took that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, it's, you know, it's funny you mentioned that too, though. That's, I think that goes back to one of the episodes we had before where I made that comment, you know, when you are dealing with the plan checker, like if they do something wrong and you know, they did something wrong, you always want to provide them that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you sure it's not this? Because I know you said this over here. You know what I mean? Like that kind of, oh yeah, you're right. You know, so they can kind of save face because you're going to have to see them again. And the last thing you want is, especially with a city plan checker or something like that, is for them to get a chip on their shoulder because they can make your life hell, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating dealing with them.
Fascinating. Good term.
because the when I speak with them, it's a real art in how to get what you want out of plan checkers. Yep. Because some of them can be very strong-willed.
You can bleep that out.
Yeah. Strong-willed. And so you have to kind of see what perspective are they coming from? What is the issue that they are finding, and try to let them do the talking as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then use whatever they're saying to try and bring them the rest of the way that you want to go based on what they're saying.
You got to let them think they're winning. You just have to, because that's, unfortunately, a lot of them are just that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's an art.
And sometimes you have to give a little and you say, okay, I understand where you're coming from. How about we do this to address the issue that you're seeing, but we still have this, which is what the client wants.
Right.
So it's a tough balance to try and deal with that and anything in service industry or dealing with people.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break to share a little bit more about our sponsors. What if you could visualize your building in a couple of clicks, remove months from the design process, or create a bridge between stakeholders to solve problems before they even come up? Our friends at Twinmotion offer simple, real-time visualization for architects. Their technology lets you view and edit your scene on the go in the same pixel-perfect quality as the final rendering. Twinmotion seamlessly integrates with other tools like SketchUp and Revit, transforming your BIM or CAD models into high-quality images, panoramas, VR videos, or presentations. Sound complicated? Well, what if I told you that Twinmotion enables anyone to present the biggest ideas in the easiest way possible, regardless of previous CG experience? To download your exclusive free trial, head to twinmotion.link/spaces. That's twinmotion.link/spaces. Section Cut by Monograph. Monograph is building a community of like-minded firm owners and operations leaders who are looking for solutions that align with their firm's values. On top of that, Monograph is building the only cloud-based practice operations software built exclusively for architects by architects. Monograph's easy-to-use and beautifully designed software allows you and your team to know, in near real time, whether you are on pace to deliver a project on budget. With Monograph, you and your team can plan project schedules, budgets, role assignments, and team members all in one place. The best part of Monograph? It doesn't require a degree in finance to use. To experience the difference today, sign up for a free trial at monograph.com. And to underscore their commitment, on August 12th, Monograph will be hosting their first ever virtual conference. It's called Section Cut. This one-day event brings firm owners, operations leaders, and project leaders together to learn from success stories and workshops, all with the goal of improving their business. Reserve a seat at Section Cut today by visiting sectioncut.com.
Well, the other one that I had was on the flooring side. We're working on a 80 or 90 unit building. And it was a builder partner of ours that was working through a GC because they don't usually do that style of building, right? Mm-hmm. And everything got delayed massively. And we weren't doing the cabinets, we were doing the flooring on it. And a buddy of mine was actually the consultant between the builder and the GC, right? Mm-hmm. And so he calls me up one day and he's like, they're telling me we got to get this done in X amount of days and blah, 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 and whatever. Like, is there anything you can do? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, here's how we can do this, right? And he's like, well, they want it done this way. And I was like, okay, well, then you're going to need to go back and tell them that we're going to do that. But then you and I have to work over here with the GC to do it the way we need to do it, so everybody can be happy type of deal. Yeah. And literally it became one of those things where it was probably more to what you're leaning to. There was no conversation about it. There was no nothing, but it got 90 units installed with common areas and everything like in 30 days.
Oh my God.
We pounded it. I mean, absolutely pounded it. And the guys were just terrific. And you know, at the end, it was just one of those things where like, well, yeah, we said it could be done. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that kind of thing. And so that was probably more the unsung part that you're referring to.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was like me out there every day, like literally coordinating people going from one spot to the other, cause another trade wasn't ready yet or this and that, and keeping our guys on site happy and, you know, all these other kind of things, and buying pizza and Gatorades, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing,
yeah.
You know, keeping the guys going. And, but it was for the betterment and everything. Cause we obviously got all that work done. You know, the builder was happy. My consultant buddy was happy, who, you know, wants to put us into different things and whatnot. And so it worked out in general, but you know, it was just kind of the builder at the end that was like, well, yeah, this is what we said and how it needed to be done. And it got done. So we knew what we were doing. And you're like, man, it was nothing like that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's okay. You know, that's our job, right?
Yeah. That's funny. One of the listeners sent in a comment. It's not exactly the unsung per se, but kind of in the same vein, where it said, as designers, our job is not always about saving money in construction, but designing it so it can be built safely and correctly while meeting the objective, which for major public infrastructure roadway projects is to alleviate traffic. But I will say that I have learned over the years to teach my younger designers to design like they are paying for what is being done. And the clients are always grateful for looking for sound, cost-friendly solutions rather than platinum solutions.
For sure.
And then he goes on a little bit, basically talking about some companies that want to design the sexy project while others will do the one that achieves what the client wants and does it cost effectively. It doesn't have to be an award-winning type of project all the time, but you want to make your client happy and deliver.
I think that's a designer complex. and you know, I mean, and seriously though, because I see it when we're dealing with model homes or when we're dealing with, you know, an actual designer that comes in, mm-hmm. Not like we have designers here, but you know, I'm talking like the fit 'em ones that do the full kit. We'll take a whole custom home, furnishings, actually work with the architect and everything else, right? And it's like something doesn't go exactly right, or you can't get exactly what they want, or you're telling them no to something. And they're like, that's the whole project. I swear to God, it's an electrical outlet that's behind a TV. But if you have to move it for some reason, it's going to mess up the whole project, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to realize, you know, there's some that like, there's ways to get it done and satisfy everybody. Everybody's going to have to give a little bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's really just like, what are your have to haves versus what are the nice to haves, right? And to be able to work with that. And, you know, keep hitting those singles. You know what I mean? I think that's the other thing, right? Like, you know, you make it into the Hall of Fame if you hit 300, right? That's three out of 10, right? 30% of the time. And I'm not saying be that crappy as a business, but you can be, you know, in the Hall of Fame by just hitting singles consistently and being good at what you do consistently, you know, like that kind of thing. It doesn't have to be a home run every time or a grand slam. And I think a lot of people freak that out. Now, granted, when you guys as architects, like you see it built and you have your name on it, that's a little bit different than the stuff that we do. Right. So yeah. I can understand, you know, that's a little bit of ego probably too, right? Like I want it this way because this was my vision. Right. So it goes back to that designer complex. But the thing is like, is it all about one building and having it your way, or is it about having a whole block that the owner owns that then goes, man, you were the best to work with ever. Like you built this killer stuff and it came in on, you know, on a mount and you've got the whole corner. You know what I mean? Like what's it really about? You know, don't get so caught up in that one main vision. Think about kind of like the forest through the trees, right? Like see everything else. And, but yeah, I call it designer complex.
Yeah. That's interesting. Cause you know, some people are very particular. Like, I was on a project where the contractor was afraid to make any changes because you can tell he had been burned by a previous architect that was like, you went outside of what I've had on my drawings. This is your fault. You have to pay for anything that needs to be changed.
Yeah.
So he was like super gun shy to make any changes and then had to have me approve and come see it and all this other stuff. And I was like, it's not that big of a deal. You have to understand what the project type that you're working on. If you're doing the Disney concert hall, there's some specifics that you need to make sure that things are exactly done the right way.
Right.
But when you're doing kind of a smaller commercial job or something that's, you know, things can be off a half an inch here or there. It's not going to be the end of the world.
Right.
But at the same time, from a construction perspective, you have to understand that that designer may be thinking about things three steps away and what that chain reaction could lead to.
Right.
So there, as we always say in like several of our podcasts, there's a balance to everything. And how do you make sure everybody gets a little bit? And, you know, sometimes you have to give a little bit as well to move that whole thing forward. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, I agree 100%.
All right. Well, we had an efficient one today, but if any of the listeners want to add on to this, feel free to comment on any of our social media channels or send us an email to hello@spacespodcast.com. If we get a few responses that warrant an add-on to this episode, we'll come back and do that. Thank you for joining me, Jason. Thank you to the listeners for listening. We'll talk again on Thursday. Thanks. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to check out our sponsors. By checking them out and supporting them, you help us keep this show going. Thank you to Twin Motion for their support of this podcast episode. Don't forget to visit twinmotion.link/spaces today and try Twin Motion for free. Thank you to Monograph for their support of this podcast episode. To reserve a seat at their first ever interactive virtual conference, visit sectioncut.com today. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in three simple ways for free. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon.
I've mentioned it to my family, but in terms of telling people like, oh yeah, we're doing this, I'm looking for projects, you got anything? Yeah. I'm not there yet because it scares the shit out of me.
Dreaming of launching your own architecture firm? Well, buckle up for a wild ride with Emerging, the podcast that shares what it's really like to start an architecture firm.
Where do we begin? We don't even know what type of business to formalize as. Is it an LLC? Is it an LLP? Like, how are taxes? I mean, the list is astronomical.
Season 1 featured founders Jeffrey, Lexi, and Chris, owners of Level Studio Architecture, are your fearless guides on this unfiltered journey from napkin sketches to a thriving studio.
One evening, stumbled into one last dive, we sat at the bar and pondered our postgraduate futures. Amidst the conversation, a napkin became the canvas for our aspirations, sketching plans and milestones, sealing our heartfelt commitment and shared dreams.
In drawing down dreams on a napkin collectively, that then, you know, in your head, you've rooted like, oh, I'm connected to these people, like long term.
The process of starting an architecture practice brims with excitement and challenges, demanding meticulous planning, flawless execution, and unyielding resilience.
I kind of hate the term because it's so overly used, but I think everybody knows imposter syndrome. And I think it's so real to this day. I don't know if it's with everybody, but with me, I'm always questioning like, us, can we do this? Are we ready to do this? Are we prepared? Can we do it?
Did we just decide a name?
We did it, guys.
Oh my
God.
That
came out of nowhere.
Woo! It came out of nowhere. I liked it. I saw it.
Ready to turn your aspirations into reality? Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Emerging and chart your own path to architectural success.